Tonight's reading is taken from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. This can be found on page 1172 of the Church Bibles. Galatians 5, starting at verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening. How are you all doing? Anyone still awake out there? You're right. I'm concerned about you. Are you okay? Yes. Those who I've never met before, hello, my name's David. I'm the vicar here, and it's great to have you here. Students, where are our students? Can you give us a wave? Can we welcome our students to Greyfriars, people? Yes. It is great to have you all here tonight. And I presume you're looking forward to pizza. Less than 1 hour to go. That doesn't mean I'm going to talk for an hour, I promise. Please keep that passage of scripture open, Galatians chapter 5. Let's pray, and then we're going to have a look at it together. Father, we want to thank you that you are here with us tonight. Your promise was this, that you would be with us until the end of the age, and you're here right now. Lord, we welcome you here. And we pray that as we look at these words in Scripture, that you would come and draw near to us, speak to us, encourage us, challenge us. Come, Holy Spirit, meet with us now, we pray. In your name, amen. Do you live as someone who is free in Christ? Do you live as someone who is free in Christ? This is one of the questions that this passage of Scripture is asking that we're going to look at tonight. Do you live as someone who is free in Christ? I want you to just think about that for a minute. I spent 7 years in Pentonville Prison. As a visitor, I add. I just really associate with what Catherine said about the privilege of being able to go into a prison and somehow in our brokenness, my brokenness, to show Jesus to, in the case I was in Pentonville Prison, these men who were there. And I used to say to everyone, this is the highlight of my week, going to prison. There's not many people who can say that. Got to meet all sorts of men there who were there for a whole range of different reasons. And some of them came to faith, and that was always a joy. And some just came to realize that actually their lives somehow were falling to pieces. And they'd been through some tough things in their lives. But what really surprised me was the number of men who would leave prison and then somehow slip backwards and end up imprisoned again. And it just broke my heart. You are free in Christ. Through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, you are free in Christ as you put your faith in him and as you surrender your life to him. But freedom from sin doesn't mean that you are free to sin. And within each one of us, there is this wrestle, this battle that goes on between those things that we think are right and those things that God thinks are right. And the Christian life, in case you haven't worked it out, is not a playground, it is a battlefield. And this battle is real within each one of us. If you're anything like me, it's easy to demonstrate the fruit of the Holy Spirit when everything is going well in our lives, but it's when we're facing challenge and temptation and conflict that we are really tested. And as I look around at the wider church in this nation, I realize that we have got to get better at dealing with conflict in a Christ-like way, because conflict is going to come in greater and greater measure. I was reading an article last week in the Times, and the journalist was writing a piece calling this country to rise up and stand up for secular values, saying that now that 53% of our nation are non-believers. And you know what this is like. You are out there. We've just talked about it. You are missionaries working, studying at school or at university, and you see the effect of this dynamic in the place where you live and work. A few of us were at the University of Reading this week at the Freshers' Fair, and it was a real joy to get to know some of you and to welcome you to Reading. And we loved our 2 days there. And as I spoke to some of you, some of the students at the Freshers' Fair, I just became so aware of the battle that is on for our students. And that conflict between trying to live out the Christian faith and yet this vast tide of the prevailing culture which is being thrown at you. And we're just so glad that you're here tonight, and we want to stand with you and pray for you and encourage you and equip you as students to live for Jesus Christ in that university. Did you know there's 50,000 students in our town? 50,000 students at Reading University. And we want to pray over that place, don't we? That Jesus Christ would raise up men and women who are committed and surrendered to him to be used for his glory. But this battle is on. Now, when we think about conflict and how we're to deal with it, we have a very public example at the moment of how not to deal with conflict. The US president and the president of, or the leader of North Korea, throwing violent words at one another, the rhetoric that we've heard over the last week. And what we see is this increasing fear and a threat of war. Now, the conflicts that you and I face are not as severe as that, but our faith is tested hugely when we come across conflict, when we face challenges in our lives. And I've had my fair share of conflict this week. And it doesn't really matter what the conflict was about, but what matters is how you and I respond, the words that we use. Because God cares deeply about our character. He cares about our hearts and about how we respond when we are under pressure. And as I was facing various conflicts this week, not only was there this tug of war going on between the people involved, but there was a tug of war going on in my heart. Because part of me just wanted to rise up and tell everyone what they were doing wrong and set everyone straight. But as I prayed, I felt really convicted, and I had to repent, because actually what God was calling me to was gentleness and patience and self-control. And these things do not come naturally to us. And so I wonder this week what you have been facing, what conflicts, what challenges, what temptations, what addictions maybe you are battling with in your life. And I want to reassure you tonight that you do not have to live imprisoned by these things. Have a look with me at the beginning of Galatians chapter 5 in the Bible. Chapter 5, verse 1, and we read this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then if you turn over the page in the church Bibles to verse 13, you will read this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. This is God's desire for you, freedom. And the Apostle Paul refers to this battle, this wrestle that goes on within us, describing it as a battle between the flesh and the spirit. So in verse 17, we read this. The flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. And these two are in conflict with each other. Now, Paul is not using this term flesh to just describe our bodies. He's describing our fallen nature, our sinfulness. And as you would know, in Romans chapter 7, you can flick back to it if you want. In Romans chapter 7, at the end of the chapter, Paul describes this battle that goes on within each one of us. And he writes this, I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This wrestle that goes on within us is a consequence of the fact that we live between times. We live after the first coming of Jesus, we live before the second coming of Jesus. We are part of God's kingdom, and yet we feel this pull of temptation and of fleshly desires. And Paul writes here what these desires are. He writes about sexual sin, idolatry, anger, envy, quarreling, excessive drinking, and more. And at the heart of it, of heart of all of these things, is pride. It's that desire that we have to want to put ourselves at the center of our world. It's about my agenda, my desires, my preferences, my way. And in verse 21, Paul writes these really tough words. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the word that he uses in this verse means a habitual pattern of behavior. He's reminding us that the kingdom of God is about righteousness, it's about holiness, it's about purity. And if we have patterns of behavior in our lives that don't meet with this God-given plan for his kingdom, then we will have no part in the kingdom of God. But there is hope. There is hope. In Romans chapter 7, as Paul has written about this battle that goes on within us, he then turns the corner in his writing, as you may know, in chapter 8, and he writes these words. The Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And in Galatians 5, verse 18, if you look at it, we read something very similar. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He's saying that the Spirit comes to set you free. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And he goes on to tell us how this works. And so in verse 18, we see that we're to be led by the Spirit. And then in verses 16 and 25, we're to walk with the Spirit. We're to be in line with the Spirit. And one of these is passive, and one of these things is active. So firstly, we're to be led by the Spirit. As we turn to Christ, the Spirit of God comes and lives within you and me. And as he does that, these new motivations appear in us, new ways of doing things, new way of thinking, of speaking. This is the Spirit of God leading us and renewing our minds. But it's a partnership with God. We're not robots. We have free will. And so you and I have to do our bit as well. And so what Paul says is, we are led by the Spirit, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit comes as we walk in step with the Spirit. As we pursue God's will, God's desires, and his ways for you in your life. And in verse 24, we read this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh. And we need to note here that this is not, it's not that this crucifying of the flesh is done to us, but this is something that you and I do. We are to crucify the flesh within us. This is a putting to death of those sinful fleshly desires within us. And Paul uses this image of crucifixion because he's trying to help us and tell us that this is not going to be easy. This is going to be painful and it's going to be costly. The gospel writer Luke tells us to take up our cross daily. And Paul is saying here, each day, nail to the cross, crucify those feelings of anger, that lust that is within you, those wrong motivations that are within all of us. Whatever it may be, those addictions that you're struggling with, nail them to the cross, crucify them with the help of the Holy Spirit. And as we do this, it impacts our lives in every aspect. It impacts what we want to watch on TV, the internet pages that we want to look at, the posts that we put on social media, the words that we use with one another, in front of each other, perhaps more importantly, the words that we speak about other people when they're not present. It impacts every aspect of our lives. Nail to the cross those things that are not of God. And then live a new life. Live a new life of freedom. A new life that God has purposed for you. A new life that Jesus Christ won for you on the cross. And a new life that the Spirit leads you into. And the fruit of this new life of the Spirit living within us is this. It impacts our relationship with God. We come to understand and experience the love of God in our hearts. We experience God's peace, his shalom, even then when we're going through rough times in our lives. We know the joy of the Lord, even when we're being persecuted and ridiculed. It impacts our relationships with others. We're patient and kind, full of God's goodness. And our lives become transformed. We're faithful people. We're people who have self-control and who are gentle. And this list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is not exhaustive. We could add other words. In Colossians 3, Paul writes about forgiveness and humility and compassion. The description of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a description of the person of Jesus. And this is what you and I are called to. This is the greatest calling upon our lives, is to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit and to be transformed into the very likeness of God. And we read in 1 John 4 that God is love. God is love. And so joy is love rejoicing. Peace is love at rest. Patience is love waiting. Kindness is love interacting. Goodness is love initiating. Faithfulness is love keeping its word. Gentleness is love empathizing. And self-control is love resisting temptation. This is true freedom, folks. This is true freedom. Not some world without any sense of morality, but the freedom to love and serve others in Christ. And I just love what these mission partners and what Joy has been saying this evening. And I just want to affirm that all of you are missionaries. If you hear nothing else tonight, hear that. You are missionaries. You are ministers on the front line, in your place of work, at university, in school, in the communities that you live in. And as God's people who have been led into freedom through Jesus Christ, we are called to something different. We're called to something distinctive. Not to react as the world does, throwing mud at each other and trying to knock each other down. But actually to die to self and to nail to the cross those things that are sinful within us and to show the world what it means to be truly free in Christ as the Spirit works in us and as the fruit of the Holy Spirit grows in you and in me. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And my final question is this: how much do you want that freedom in your life right now? Let's pray. Why don't we take a moment and just in silence, thinking of those things that all of us need to crucify, that we would take a moment to bring before God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, those parts of our lives that are not godly, that are not holy, that are not loving to others. And let's just have a moment of silence as we offer those things to God, as we nail them to the cross. Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. We pray tonight, Spirit of God, that you would come and move amongst us, setting people free. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Lord, that you have taken it all for us. But we need the help of your Spirit to continue to walk in that place of freedom. And I want to pray for anyone here tonight who's feeling held down, enslaved, trapped, burdened, or imprisoned, that in the name of Jesus Christ, you would be set free. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that as we stand and worship you now, as some come forward for prayer, that you would continue this work in us, leading us each into a spacious place where we would know you fully, Lord. That we would walk free from here tonight, and that you would empower and envision us, Lord, to be missionaries, ministers of your gospel, wherever we go. So equip us, we pray now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you like to stand, please? We're going to worship now, and I just wonder, as we're worshiping, if the prayer ministry team could come out. And I just had this really clear sense this evening that, I mean, I know some of you are dealing with some really tough stuff in your lives. But I have complete faith and trust that the answer is in Jesus. And I just encourage you, if you're courageous enough and if you're up for it, come and get some prayer tonight as we're worshiping. And we'd love to stand with you and pray for you, whatever it is you're going through in your life.